All right. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I started last week, or a couple of weeks ago, really, but I started on a series of spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. We're in a war. We're in a war. And it used to didn't be so obvious. And the longer we go on, the more obvious this is, that we're in a spiritual battle. And as a pastor, I can look around, even tonight, I can tell you most people are not equipped for it. Most people have never even thought about it. See, most Christians think, well, I got saved, I'm going to be all right. Now that I'm saved, God will take care of me. Everything's going to be smooth and it's going to be roses, you know, and easy going from here on out. They didn't realize that day that they went on the opposing force, opposing the whole world. We are in the minority. Believers are. And unbelievers are in a majority. And we used to be one of those people, but we need to realize now, we've been changed from death unto life. We've been changed from lost to found. We were really children of the devil, and now we're children of God. And because of that, we're at war with the devil. The devil's your problem. It's not your preacher. And I know people around here sometimes get mad at me and they say, but I'm not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. Oh, Satan, here he is right here. And here's a perfect picture of him being cast out of heaven. He's the troublemaker. He's the one that exalteth and opposeth God. He exalted himself as God and he opposes God. And one day he's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem and say he is God. And he's going to deceive the whole world. And Jesus said he would deceive the very elect if the time was not shortened. Now he knows his business. If there's ever been a commander in chief that knows his business, Satan knows his business. Amen. Brother Jeffrey, he's been around a long time. Me and you don't last long. We're like a vapor that appears for a little while and then we vanish away. We're like that flower that flourishes and then it's gone. The Bible says this old boy's been around for a long time. He was here before this world was ever made. He was in existence. And then he fell through pride, you know. He said, I will be like God. I'll be like God. I'll sit on God's throne. I'll be God. And God said, oh boy, you're not doing that. I'm throwing you out. This is it. And he took a third of the angels with him. Now a lot of people say, well, he threw him down to hell. No, he didn't. He cast him down to the earth. Says it right there in verse 9. He was cast out into the earth and his angels cast out with him. They're not in hell. They're alive and well on planet earth right now. And as the Bible says, not only him, but his devils, demons too. They're walking about seeking whom they may devour. They hate us because God loves us. Now don't get me wrong, they hate all mankind, but they hate us especially because he's adopted us into his family. And it's what the army would call a call to arms. It's a call to arms. It's time some Christians stood up and got in the fight. Instead, they want to float on flowery beds of ease and long as the devil don't bother them, they're okay. Well, the devil knows that. That's part of his plan. We're at war, folks. Believe it or not, we're at war. I'm not at war with the Democrats. I'm not. But I'm at war with their commander-in-chief. I'm not at war with the drug crowd, but I'm at war with their little sergeant or whoever the little demon is running them around town. I'm not at war with the liquor store owner, but I'm at war with their little sergeant, whatever that demon's is running, his name is running these folks around town. We're at war. It's a war between right and wrong. It's a war between good and evil. And that's how simple it is. This is not rocket science. This is biblical science. Yeah. It's very easy to understand. We're at war. And we need to open our eyes. Look at 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 2. Now, I'll never finish all this stuff tonight. It'll take me a few weeks. But look at 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I want to show you some scriptures on this. Now, I'm not just blowing hot air. I'm trying to warn some people. In 2 Timothy, chapter 2, look at verse 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of who? The devil. Who are taken what? Captive. It's a war. You take prisoners. These people are taken captive by him at his will. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm talking about open your eyes and look and see what's going on. And the scripture will reveal what's going on. 2 Corinthians. Now this ain't what that pussyfoot nickel nipping penny pinching panty waist preacher on television will tell you about because it'll lose offerings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, I hate to say it, but most Christians are.
Right.
They're ignorant at how Satan works.
Right.
And for some reason, they think they're bulletproof or something in this war. When we've been put into battle, and he's deceiving people every day, and they're ignorant of his devices simply because they don't know what the Word of God says. Jesus told some people one time, he said, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. And see, most people want a little 15 minute sermonette to go with their 45 minutes of singing and make them feel real good and real fuzzy and real happy and dance on their way home, you know, do a little ballet, a little worship thing, you know, and they go home. Well, let me tell you something. You don't see that in the Marines. You don't see that in the Army. You don't see it in the Navy. You don't see it in the Air Force. When you're in war, there ain't a whole lot of dancing and laughing and going on. And we just forgot we're in war. And look, God opened their eyes. That's what we ought to pray. God opened their eyes. Let them see they're in a war and don't know it. I'm talking about believers. Some of them sitting at home right now watching evening news and ain't doing nothing but getting discouraged and downhearted and afraid. And you think the devil's not in on that? Sure he is. He's the one that invented that. He's the prince of the power there. That's no longer news. That's the entertainment industry now. It's his propaganda department. He's setting up one world government using the TV system and the internet system and the phone system and the computer system. All this stuff's tying together. And now it's like the Nazis had. He has a propaganda department. And he's deceiving people. And people need to open their eyes and see what's really going on. Why don't they start looking at their kids going to hell and saying, Lord, what's wrong with my kids going to hell? How come I can't stop that? Why don't they look at their husband and say, look, there's a husband right there. I love him. And we got married when he was lost and I got saved. He didn't get saved. Lord, what's going on over there? Why is that? It's a war. That's why these people are just like you and I. They're blind. They're blind. They don't see it. Thank God March 5th, 1978, the scales fell off my eyes. I realized that day I'd been in a battle a long time up with God and the devil over my soul. Amen? Here's what they need to realize. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, a lot of scripture tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Here's what people need to open their eyes and see. They need to realize this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And look, if you can go to church, you don't go, shame on you. I'm glad you're watching, but you ought to go to church. I don't know who you are. You ought to go to church.
Amen.
You've been deceived.
Amen.
Look, here's what people don't see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. I said 1 Corinthians chapter 2, didn't I? And I turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that's the man that does not, he's lost, never been born again, "the fleshly man," the man of the flesh, not the spiritual man, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." Did you know there's a natural world and there's a spiritual world? There's a natural world and there's a spiritual world. And people don't see that. They just think, well, you know, he's a Christian, she's not, and she's a Christian, he's not, you know, and that's their choice, and that's their lifestyle, and that's their morality, you know, and that's their belief, and you know, they got all kind of words for it. But I've got news for you. There's two worlds on planet Earth. One is the spiritual world that only the Holy Ghost of God can show you, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. And He speaks to our heart, and He teaches us, and we compare spiritual things with spiritual things, He said. But a person without Jesus Christ is blind to spiritual things. They're dead in trespasses and sin. So, see, there's a spiritual world, and there's a natural world. And the lost can't see that. And Christians aren't talking about that anymore. If you talk about that, you're not Baptist, you're Baptist-costal. That's what they call me, Baptist-costal. You're old-fashioned. You're a dinosaur. People don't talk like that. We try to be more relevant now. I don't even know what the word means. I mean, if you're talking about between a Christian and the world, I can't relate to the world anymore. I'm not part of the world. I live in a different world. I'd have to step down to go back into the world and understand it. I used to be a part of it. And there's two worlds. There's a spiritual world and there's a natural world. And some sleeping Christians just can't see it. They just can't see it. And if you talk about it, they laugh at you. They make fun of you. But we saw it last week in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elijah 6, chapter 6 in 2 Kings with Elisha's servant. You remember that? Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes that he can see." He was scared to death. The Syrian army was out there and surrounding the whole city, and they come to get Elisha and his servant. And the poor prophet wasn't upset at all. He was just as happy as he could be, as if he had good sense, like they used to say, you know. And old man, the boy comes to him and said, Preacher, don't you know what's going on? You're in here eating hot dogs. Haven't you looked out there? There's an army out there. You're sitting in there reading that old King James Bible. You need to, Preacher, don't you see they're about to come in here and kill us? They're all over the place." And the old preacher looked up and said, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant." And the Lord took those blinders off, let those scales fall off, and he walked him out there and he said, "Now look yonder. There's more of us than there are them." He let him see the spiritual world. And God had sent reinforcements. And the opposing army hadn't even seen them. And they were about to be destroyed by a supernatural army in the spiritual realm. Now, the average Christian doesn't see that because they don't read the Bible. I don't mean they don't read little tidbits. They'll read a little verse or half a verse, and then they'll read a little devotional about that long. I'd have read that much Bible and about that much devotional. Most Christians have never read through the Bible one time in their life, not one time. Doesn't take but 3 or 4 chapters a day. You'll have went through it in 1 year. And who can't read 3 or 4 chapters? You read newspapers and blogs and internet things and watch TV more than that. But most Christians never read this kind of stuff. And then there's not only is there two worlds, the spiritual and the natural. Now this is the natural. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said this natural this mortal must put on immortal. Now, listen to me. He said this flesh has got to put on spirit. There's two worlds. There's a spirit world and there's a fleshly world. Now, we can't see the spirit world except through the Word of God. Or unless God does a great work that we can see the work that was done through the spirit world. But that doesn't make it any less real. Matter of fact, the spirit world was there before the natural world was there. Let's go on. Look at Luke chapter 4. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a call to arms. We're at war, man. It's time to get right. The old preacher used to say, get in, get out, or get run over. Amen. 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 Look at Luke chapter, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4, if you will. Look at verse 5 and 6. Now we know there's a natural world and there's a spiritual world. Now in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the what? In a moment of time. Now these were not worldly kingdoms. These were spiritual kingdoms. This is the devil showing him spiritual things. And he showed him all the stuff he owned. And the devil said unto him, all this power. Well, certainly he wasn't showing him Jerusalem. That was defeated. He wasn't showing him Rome because Jesus knew what Rome wasn't going to last. He couldn't show him a kingdom of this world because he's talking to Jesus, the Creator, and he knows that Jesus knows all these natural things, these worldly things pass away. None of them last. So he's showing him the spiritual realm, the kingdoms, the principalities and powers in high places. That's what the devil was showing him. And he said, I own this. And he does. He's the prince of this world. And then he said, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Now he's not talking about natural things, he's talking about the supernatural. For that is delivered unto me. He's saying, your father, God gave these things to me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now there's two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms here on planet Earth. Now I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse 15. There's two kingdoms. Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathers not for me scattereth abroad. That's in Matthew 12:30. That tells me there's two groups of people. There's two kingdoms on planet Earth. In Revelation chapter 11, look at verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, that's when he defeats Satan. But right now, there are kingdoms of this world. All these kingdoms in this world. And listen, every kingdom has demons over in charge of them. Every one of them. Now I'm not talking about Syria and Russia and Japan. I'm talking about spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers that we can't even see. And then there's the kingdom of God over on the other side. That's everybody that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two kingdoms. And we're at odds with each other. Now look what Romans chapter 6 says. In Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6 verse 16. There it is. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are, ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now he's saying this, there's two kingdoms and we got to be in one of them. We got to be in one of them. And whichever one we yield ourselves to, that's going to be our Lord. That's the one we're going to serve. Now a lot of people, they say, well, preacher, I'm kind of neutral on this Christianity stuff. I'm not against it, but I'm not for it. Well, Jesus said, if you're not against me, if you're not for me, you're against me. There's no neutral. There's only two kingdoms. That's it. God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And look, these are at battle. These have been at battle ever since Satan was cast out of heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm trying to get to where the real war is, okay? I'm just trying to show you there's two kingdoms. There's two worlds. Eyes are close to it. Even Christian eyes are close to it. But I want you to see it. There's the natural world, the spiritual world, God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. And now in 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 10. I want to show you where the real war is going on. Now, did anybody see Satan and his army marching out here coming in? No, you didn't see that. Now, you can say what you will about Antifa and all this stuff, but they're children of his kingdom, but they don't even know it. So that's not what I'm talking about. The war is not out there. Let me show you where the real war is. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means of this world and this. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now he says he's pulling down some strongholds, some powerful places. He's pulling them down. Casting down imaginations. Where is that at? In your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Where's knowledge at? In your mind. And bringeth into captivity every thought. Where's your thoughts at? To the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, we'll go ahead and read on verse 7. Do you look on things after outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord had given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Now that's the Apostle Paul said, I'm coming to warn you, there's a war going on in your mind, in your thinking, in your imaginations, and I'm nobody, I'm no better than you are, but God has sent me to warn you of this stuff. The battle, the war, is in the mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The war, the real war, is not out there with Antifa. It's not up in the House of Representatives with the Democrats. It's not over here in China. The real war is going on in the minds of people. And the only way to win it is to bring our minds, our imaginations, our thoughts, our intents under submission of Jesus Christ through His Word. Now, if you don't know the Word, how are you going to do that? Amen. If you don't attend church, how are you going to do that? If you're still running with the other army over there, even though you're their enemy, and you're hobnobbing with them, how in the world are you going to get the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? Because all they do is play mind games. You know what? I don't know if you ever known anybody that went to prison and did hard time. But you know what all those men do when they come out of jail? The number one thing they learn to do, mind games. How to manipulate people. They do. And you know what? That old devil, he's a good teacher, buddy. The real war is in my mind. Most of our battles are in our mind. Most of our battles are not with flesh and blood. They're in our mind. They're in our thoughts. They're in our imaginations. I've had people get mad at me. Church members just get mad at me. I'm fighting, spitting, almost cussing mad. And me not know. Don't even know it. Had no hint. And they never tell me. I always tell somebody else. I had one woman for years, her and her family come to church, and she'd sit there and make faces at me and snarl, and talk behind my back. Every time evangelists come, her and her husband want to take them all off to eat dinner. Every time we'd have a revival, evangelists come. And finally, one of them told me one time, he said, "Brother Ron, how well do you know these people?" I said, "I've known them for many, 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 many years. They've been members of my church for many years." He said, "They don't like you." He said, "They talk bad about you." I said, "I've been praying they'd leave." No, I didn't say that. I did say this, though. He said, "You ought to run them off." I said, "Where am I going to run them? Nobody else will help them." And I never did help them either. They didn't. But it was all in the mind. All in the mind. I told that story over and over. I had a deacon. He got me out. Boy, he pulled me over. Every Sunday he had something to say about my sermon. Every Sunday. And then finally one Sunday he said, "Preacher, I'm getting tired of you preaching right at me." I said, "Son, I'm not preaching at you. I don't even think about you when I'm making my sermons. You think more of you than I do." But it's in the mind. Now in this world, listen, there's two minds. There's a spiritual mind. There's a natural mind. The natural mind is not subject to God. The spiritual mind is. Now, as a child of God, God supernaturally gives us a new mind. That's one of the gifts we get. We get a new mind. And he said, by the renewing of your mind, he says. And so he gives us a new mind. But we still got our old mind too. So now we're schizophrenic. They always said you was crazy anyway. Now you got two minds. You got a spiritual mind that wants to please God. Then you got a carnal mind. Let me go back to Romans chapter 7, if you will. Romans chapter 7. Most of you already know what I know. And you're saying, "Oh, I know Romans chapter 7. But let's look at it this way. In Romans chapter 7. He said in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, the thing that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good." In other words, the law says, all have sinned. I say, well, law's good. Law's telling the truth. "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." There's that carnal mind. There's that natural mind. So when we sin, who does that? Is that the spiritual man or the natural man? That's the natural man. But what is he, as a Christian, when we sin, the natural man and the carnal man has an argument. Every time. He said, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present," that's the mind, "but how to perform that which is good, I find not." The flesh, see, it don't want to do good. "For the good that I would do not, For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the what? The inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of what? My mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, there's two minds right there. That's where the war is. There's two minds right there. Who's going to deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you see, there's a war. That's our real war right there. Every day, all day long. A natural mind and a spiritual mind. And did you know most all our battles are in our mind? They're not out here. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. Ain't that right? Covetousness is just like stealing. Lust is just like adultery. Deception is just like lying. It's a war all the time. It's the war. It's not against people. Our war is never visible. If you saw a fist fight at a local church, that wasn't God. That was the flesh. If you see Christians having a falling out, it's their mind. It's their mind. That's what it is. Old Satan's putting fiery darts in there and they're giving them all kind of thoughts, you know. Well, you know, if Jeffrey really loved to preach, he'd buy him Pepsi Cola as Hazel does. Don't do that, Jeff. Don't do that. Amen. Listen. I don't know about you, but I'm not against people. Because there's invisible demonic spirits all around us right now. Now, I don't believe in ghosts, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, or in hell, he lifted up his eyes. There's two destinations. But I do know there are demonic spirits all around us. Our story last week proved there was godly spirits all around me. I do know they hate me. They hate me because I love God. They hate me because I want the will of God. They hate me. They hate me because I want the way of God. They hate me. And they're either going to attack my mind or they're going to attack the mind of the people around me. To attack me. And what I've got to remember, Brother Billy, they're not really attacking me. He is. So I don't hate people. When Jesus hung on that cross and those people spit at him and cussed him, they had beaten him to a pulp. When those people did that and they mocked him, he saw the war was not between him and those people. He saw there's a battle in the spiritual world going on between good and evil. And he looked up to heaven and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Their mind was being controlled by outside forces. Everybody's engaged, like it or not. Everybody is in this war, like it or not. The only thing is, some are so blind they don't see the war. Now, I'm not talking about lost people. Lost people are blind naturally. They can't see it. But we can see things if we judge things spiritually. And the only way you can do that, you got to be a spiritual person. And the only way you can be a spiritual person is know what the Spirit says. And the only way you're going to know that is by knowing the book. We live in an age right now in America to where church members, Christians, know less Bible than they've ever known in the history of the American church. Well, when I got saved, man, I tried to read my wife's Bible. She had a Revised Standard Version her family had given her when she was a kid. And we went and got me a King James Bible because my pastor had one. And I sat down, I started reading that thing, and it just jumped, stuff just jumped out at me. And then this old guy at work had one. I'd sit there, my machine could run 4 hours, me not touch it, I just watch it. So I'd sit there and read that Bible and watch that machine. And sometime old Tommy Owens, our deacon that's gone to heaven now, he'd come up there, he worked on the other end of my machine, and he'd say, "Boy, what's wrong with you?" He'd catch me crying. I said, "Man, I didn't know that was in there. Why didn't somebody tell me that was in there? Tommy, why didn't you tell me that was in there?" He said, "I thought everybody knew that. God had taken the scales off. I could see things spiritually." And the thing wrong with most churches nowadays and most Christians, they do not read the Bible. Most of them don't even know they're in a war. I've heard preachers preach that the battle's over. It's done. It's not over. The war for my salvation was finished on the cross and with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the war for my family and my friends and my church members and my own well-being is still raging. If you really got born again, you remember how excited you were and how convicted you wanted to get everybody else saved. And you want to make sure everybody knew about Jesus. And boy, you go tell them and you tell them with tears in your eyes. And you found out that most of them had already heard it and rejected it or received it and just let it go at that. Let me tell you something. The war's no different today than it was the day you got saved. There's a battle that day when you got saved between good and evil. And it was in your mind you had to decide if you'd follow Jesus or follow the world, the flesh, and like it or not. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and I'll quit. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world." That's demonic princes. Just as Michael is a prince of the angels, demons, there's some in rank as princes among them. "Rulers against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand." Well, you can't do it all until you know what all to do. Well, preacher, how in the world am I going to fight this? How in the world do you fight a spiritual battle? How can I do that? And I'll go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll read you verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not made of this world. But mighty through the God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That could be a boat. That could be an automobile. Anything that exalts itself above God, and you make an idol out of that thing, or you follow that instead of following Jesus, and cast all those things down. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Next week we're going to Job. And I'm going to show you the war in one man's life. It was a war in one man's life. And don't think you're any better than he is. And if the devil hated him and he hated his family, he hates you and hates your family too. And look, there's a war going on. I want you to know if you're out there in here, if you belong here, you should have been here. But let me tell you something. There's a war for the soul of everybody you love. And you're supposed to be on the front line, guarding, praying, interceding, witnessing, studying. Brother Michael, I'm afraid we're in the Laodicean church. They're not hot and they're not cold. They love to go to church and sing the praises. They love to hear great, eloquent speeches by some great orator on the grace of God and the goodness of God. And all that's wonderful. But you know, you got to get out into battle sooner or later. This is just our weekly business meetings, all this is. Amen? Sunday's our planning day. Sunday's our pep rally. To get back into battle. Not go out there and live on flowery beds of ease. And our world's dying and going to hell. And it doesn't seem like anybody's saying this. And I get called mean for saying stuff like this. And because I care about you and care about your family and care about your children, your grandchildren, and people that live in your house, you won't even bring them to church, and you say that I'm mean, I'm not the one doing anything mean to people. I'm trying to cry aloud, spare not. I'm trying to hold up a light. I'm trying to wave the banner. And the day we live in, though, everybody's happy. Everybody's satisfied. It's time for church to wake up and realize we're in a war. I think we're seeing it around our country physically. You think this stuff is just politics? This is demonic inspired. Let me tell you what this is really all about, and we'll go. Let me tell you something. If the devil knows if he can stop America from being free to freely send the gospel and to freely send missionaries and to freely preach and teach the word of God and to freely witness anywhere we want to, on the street, down the store, over house to house, wherever you want to witness, he knows if he can stop that, the world is doomed. We're the last great hope of the gospel. And you know where he started at? He started in the home. And then it spread to the churches. And it's like a virus. It's spreading out to the politics and to the streets. And it's killing us. We got to take up arms again. Next week we'll look at Job and I'll explain what I mean by that. Listen, let's put on the whole armor of God. Go out there and say, I'm just going to stand. If I can't do nothing else, I can stand for Christ. I can stand for the Word of God. I can stand for right. I can stand for my family. Let's do that this week. Let's stand. Come on, Jeffrey. Father, bless the reading of your Word. The preaching of your word, Lord. I'm sorry there wasn't more people here to hear it. But Lord, you knew who was going to be here before the foundation of the world was ever laid. God, you knew who was going to be here. And maybe, hopefully, some of them watched by the internet there. But Lord, we need you, God. We need you. Our church needs you. And Lord, if Cornerstone Baptist Church needs you as lively as we are, Bible believing as we are, loving as we are, if we need you, Lord, think about the rest of those churches, how bad they need you. Get your hymn book and turn 298. 298. Help us, Lord.